Well, so many people told me to see the movie Eat, Pray, and Love that I felt obliged to go to see it. I had not read the book. I know a lot of people had read the book. I went to the movie with a couple friends, and the movie was filled. The gender ratio was about 92% female to about 8% male. The movie follows a kind of classical spiritual itinerary or spiritual trajectory, beginning with a woman who is going through a kind of midlife crisis. So it's Liz Gilbert, who's played by Julia Roberts. Her marriage is breaking up. Her job is going nowhere. Her friends can't help her, and she feels kind of lost. The single most affecting moment of the movie for me was, right at that point, she gets down on her knees, and with tears, she prays. A very honest, very direct prayer. Oh God, I'm lost. Please help me. And I liked that prayer. I liked how simple it was and how direct. And in the wake of that prayer, she goes on this spiritual adventure to three countries. First to Italy, and then to India, and finally to Bali. She goes to Italy to indulge the senses. So that's the eat part of the story. She goes to India to visit the ashram of a guru that her boyfriend was connected to. That's the pray part. And then she goes to Bali because she'd been there some time before as a reporter, and there was this sort of wise man, a guru figure, who had said, you will come back here one day. So she comes back at his prompting. Now, we see here this three-step process, eat, pray, love. And Rome in Italy is the place where she eats. It's where she indulges the pleasures of the senses, especially eating. You know what struck me in that part of the movie? Was there something really, really healthy about that? Blaise Pascal, the great spiritual master, says you begin with the body. You begin at the level of the basic appetites of what you see and touch and taste and so on. And that's all good. The body is good. And, of course, Catholicism very much affirms the body. In fact, and this is overlooked too often, one of the ways you can really get off the right spiritual path is by suppressing or demonizing those basic bodily needs. Nothing in the world wrong with the pleasures of sense and taste and touch. And so I thought, okay, you know, that there's something Catholic and healthy about beginning a spiritual quest with the body. Then she moves on to India. The city is never named, but she's in an ashram in India. And there she gets into the great practices of Hinduism. She learns, you know, meditation and chanting and silence and sitting in prayer. And she does that for several months, at the end of which she says, here's the distillate of the wisdom I've learned from this prayer and these practices, that God is in me. I thought, okay. Then she adds, as me. And at that point I thought, no, something's really gone wrong with the spiritual quest. That God is in us, yes, indeed, but if you say God is in me as me, well, then I've simply collapsed God into my own very fallen, very fragile self. There's no room left, really, for conversion. If I, with all my flaws, am simply identified as God, then what's the point of changing? Well, she goes on from India now to Bali, to Indonesia. And there she falls in love with a character played by Javier Bardem, who's kind of this romantic figure, and she falls for him. And what struck me was, when he proposes a certain form to their relationship, she balks because she feels she's being maneuvered or manipulated. Only when he's willing utterly to surrender to her way of envisioning the relationship does she accept it. And the movie ends with the two of them kind of sailing off into the sunset, but very much on Liz's terms. And that's why I thought at the end of the movie, it just seems to me like a celebration of narcissism. It's the full expression of God is in me as me. Now, here's something else that struck me as I watched this movie. Here's a woman, and in the movie she's portrayed as from Manhattan, but she's a, you know, kind of mainstream American type. And I presume from a Christian background. Never once in the course of the movie does she make any reference to the Christian spiritual tradition. Never once does she seek out a Christian spiritual guide or a priest. It really struck me when she was in Rome. Of course, they have this beautiful photography of the city of Rome, the skyline of Rome, which includes all the great churches. especially St. Peter's, is on display many times. There's kind of a cute scene where she's on a bench and she's eating ice cream, and next to her are two nuns, habited nuns, who are licking ice cream cones. So it's kind of the cute, you know, local flavor of Rome. But she never once darkens the door of any of the churches, never once seeks out Christian spiritual advice. And here's the thing. Many Christians, great Christian spiritual masters, began where she began. That beautiful, direct, honest prayer with tears. Oh God, I'm lost, help me. You think of Dante, you think of Augustine, you think of Ignatius of Loyola. All began at that same spot. Here's the difference. None of them came to the point of saying, God is in me as me. That's never where the trajectory went. Here's how it went. They moved through a period of detachment. And what that means is, I detach myself from anything in this world that I have turned into God. Anything in this world, so it's bodily pleasure or money or power or esteem, status, my own ego, whatever it is, that I've made the center of my life. All the great spiritual masters say I must become detached from that because only God belongs in the center of my life. Is that process painful? Yes. Yes. Now look at all the exercises Liz went through in the ashram. That's all part of a classical spiritual program, is that you go through a purging process because it's painful to let go of these false idols. Especially, I must say, the idol of the ego. God is in me as me. That is the ultimate idol that must be detached from. Now, once you're detached, what you find, now this is true in all these figures, Dante, Augustine, Ignatius, all the other ones. Once you're detached, you find the true center in God. Yes, you find God in you, but not as you. You find God as this great, now, organizing energy around which all the other energies and talents and powers in you get arranged. And, this center, this divine center, now commands you and sends you on mission. See, and that's one of the giveaways to me. The Christian spiritual journey is never primarily a journey of self-discovery. Ho-hum, you know. It's a journey toward mission. Now I know that I've got the privilege of participating in God's own life, God's own purpose, which is to bring grace and joy and life into the world. All the spiritual masters know once they're detached, once they found the divine center, now they know where to go and what to do. See? They become participants in God's own life. And that's why it ends in great joy. Not self-preoccupation, not narcissism, not self-deification, but in the joy of participating in God's own life. I think it might be instructive for Christians, for Catholics, to watch Eat, Pray, Love, to see someone who's going, I think, honestly, on a spiritual journey, which we all need to go on, but then to notice the difference between that trajectory and what I would claim is the right trajectory. I guess at the end of the day, I was thinking, if only Liz had spoken to one of those nuns next to her on the bench, she might have found something very profound that those habited women had found, namely the Christian spiritual trajectory.